Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. It wasn't that long ago that Californians were living under some pretty tight rules aimed at conserving water. You couldn't water your yard so much that the water ran off into the street or sidewalk or hosed down a driveway, Paul Rogers reminds us in his piece for the Mercury News. Watering landscaping within 48 hours of rain was forbidden, and if you washed a car with a hose, it had to have a nozzle. These rules and others expired in 2017, but now California is entering another drought. And as of Monday, we now have 41 California counties in a drought emergency. So should the state rules be reinstated? You can tell us what you think at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And Paul Rogers joins me now. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on. I should remind our listeners of a couple of the other rules that you reminded me of, that hotels had to put up signs telling customers they could choose not to have their sheets and towels washed every day. Ornamental fountains were prohibited unless they recycled water, and cities couldn't water grass on street medians. So can you remind us, Paul, why these rules were put in the first place? And why they were lifted.
Yeah. Yes. You know, as people might remember, we had another drought from 2012 to 2016. And as that drought began worsening, our former governor, Jerry Brown, declared a statewide drought emergency in April of 2014. And he issued an executive order requiring the State Water Resources Control Board to draw up water wasting rules, basically prohibitions against wasting water. So that board, which is made up of a governor's appointees, passed some rules 3 months later. And they did all the things like you just mentioned, you know, you can't hose down your driveway and all that kind of stuff. And basically, they were the law for 3 years. But when it really began raining hard in 2017, we all remember the flooding in downtown San Jose, the crisis at Oroville Dam, he lifted the drought emergency, and those rules had been put in under his emergency authority. So they expired. But Brown asked the Water Board to make them permanent because he said they seem like common sense solutions in a dry state. The board did that. They had a meeting February 2018 to make them permanent. But then the rules were controversial at that meeting, and the board basically dropped them and never came back to them. So although we have those kinds of rules as local ordinances in some cities, we don't have any statewide rules like that as we head into another drought.
So why did those rules become controversial? What was the controversy?
Well, I think this issue shows that in California, nearly everything about water is complicated and controversial. You know, even those things that seem completely simple and innocuous. The short version is that a number of big cities like Los Angeles, the folks who run East Bay Municipal Utilities District in the East Bay, folks at Santa Clara Valley Water District in the South Bay, they were okay with the rules. They didn't mind if they were made permanent. They had a few little tweaks on them, but they really were okay with them. But others, lawyers for some big water agencies, including the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, which runs the Hetch Hetchy system in four Bay Area counties, along with agricultural water lawyers in places like Westlands Water District in Fresno, they said that the rules would set a bad precedent that could be used to infringe on their water rights. And the reason is because the legal basis for those rules was part of the state constitution that bans, quote, waste and unreasonable use, unquote, of water. Hmm. Now, that's a very kind of broad and difficult to define term, and it hasn't been used very much as an enforcement tool. And so these guys were worried that, oh, my God, if the state board starts passing rules, statewide rules that bans waste and unreasonable use of water, then what if they want to do it for other things? Like, what if they say that you can't grow almonds over tapped aquifers in the Central Valley because that's waste and unreasonable use? And it became like this quasi-religious thing at that meeting where, you know, one attorney for Westlands Water District got up and started quoting Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. He was quoting Shakespeare. Another attorney for an irrigation district in Sacramento Valley said, if the board did this, they could order water agencies in cities not to send water to homes where undocumented immigrants live. I mean, the rhetoric just got really sort of colorful and over the top. And the Brown administration backed off. They did not take up the rules again. And sources told me that the reason was because Jerry Brown only had 10 months left in office, and he didn't want to have his water staff tied up in lawsuits over this issue because it was raining and the drought was over. And he was trying to push the Delta tunnels and other big things. So it basically just didn't get done. And here we are 3 years later.
We're talking with Paul Rogers, natural resources and environment reporter for the San Jose Mercury News. His recent piece is Why California Has No Statewide Water Wasting Rules as It Heads Into a New Drought. I'm asking you, our listeners, if you think we should reimpose our expired water waste rules as this drought emergency grows. I'm also curious, what's your go-to water conservation strategy? You can tell us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, getting in touch on Twitter or Facebook at KQED Forum, or give us a call, 866-733-6786. Andy writes, my go-to water conservation strategy is to remind my leaders in Sacramento that 80% of our water goes to agricultural uses, and that system is a complete hodgepodge of historical water rights that make no sense. They need to see that a 10% reduction in agricultural uses is the same as 50% reduction in private usage. Your reaction to that, Paul?
That is true. There's a lot of controversy over what percent of the state's water is used by whom. But essentially, 80% of the water that's used by people in California is used by agriculture. Now, farmers like to broaden it and say that, you know, 40% goes to ag and like 40% goes to, quote, the environment, meaning that's water that's left in rivers for fish and rivers that aren't dammed in places like Big Sur and the North Coast. But it is important to realize, even though farmers are using 80% of what we call the developed water, that water isn't really transferable to a lot of urban areas. So, for example, if you live in, you know, Marin County, where they're having water shortages right now, and a farmer in Bakersfield uses 10% less water because he's not pumping out as much groundwater, you don't get that water. It's not like there's some pipe from Bakersfield to Marin, so you get that extra water. So the water that you do save in your urban area is, for the most part, your area's water. And it's the water that you'll have for next year if we're dry next year. You know, an example, half of the drinking water in Silicon Valley and in Santa Clara County comes from groundwater. So if they conserve water in San Jose, that's more water left in the ground for next year, regardless of what someone in Fresno is doing with almond trees.
Well, let me go to caller Jessica in Menlo Park. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Sort of along the same lines as with agriculture, you know, in my area, I have how many different golf courses that use more water than I think any of us put together. And so until golf courses and similar types of places have to start, you know, being more careful with their water and cutting back, it seems kind of ridiculous that all of us have to go to such extremes.
Jessica, thanks. I'm curious, Paul, like how well did these rules that we had work? How much of an impact did it make, say, to have a hose with a nozzle if you're washing your car, or, you know, making sure that people didn't hose down their driveways?
Good question. The State Water Board staff, when they prepared the permanent rules, they looked into that, and it was about 12,000 acre feet a year was their estimate. An acre foot is an acre, so think of an area the size of a football field, a foot deep. That's an acre foot of water, about 325,000 gallons. It's about what two families of five in Northern California would use in a year. So, you know, 12,000 acre feet is about enough for 120,000 people for a year. Now, statewide, that's not a ton. And that was one of the arguments that the opponents were using, why these shouldn't be made permanent. Environmental groups and water conservation advocates said, yeah, that's true, but it sends a bigger message. If you go to a hotel and you see a little sign that says you don't have to water your or wash your towels or your sheets every night, or you see a little, you know, someone in a restaurant says, do you want water or not? They believe that that's a messaging reinforcement that has value and that that carries over in the rest of your life because it makes you aware that we are a dry state and we are in a water crisis. Huh.
So there's that part of it. Yeah.
On the golf course issue, you know, that's a great point. And if the drought continues to worsen, we will see restrictions on golf courses, just like we saw in the last drought. And if you look at the water rules that the Marin Municipal Water District has passed recently in the last few weeks, which are the toughest in the Bay Area, those limit golf course watering basically to tees and greens. So we're going to see a lot of brown golf courses coming up this summer and probably after that.
There does seem, though, to be this current, I'm hearing, that people do feel like the onus is too much on individuals to conserve when you have these larger entities that are using so much water. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, again, as I mentioned with the farmers, it's true. Farmers use most of the water in the state. But again, the water system statewide is not all interconnected. So farmers saving water somewhere else doesn't necessarily mean that that's more water for you in your urban area. We have a lot of regional water systems where people are getting water locally or from one exclusive place, and there isn't the overlap. So it's important for everybody to not be wasteful with water, because we don't know if this drought is going to last 2 years or 10 years. And remember, Australia had a drought earlier in the 21st century that lasted basically 12 years. Our last drought, the 2012 to 2016 drought, that was a 5-year drought. And in the historic record in California, when you look back over the past couple of thousand years, looking at tree rings and other indicators, California had two droughts in the last 2,000 years that lasted more than 100 years. So there's a lot of evidence from scientists that the 20th century was among the wettest centuries of the last 2,000 years in California. And, you know, we may have long, prolonged dry periods. We're never going to completely run out of water because we have an endless source, which is the Pacific Ocean. And if it became dire, in other words, if we had a drought that lasted 20 years, for example, we would build massive desal plants up and down the coast. 75% of California's population lives within 1 hour of the coast. We would do what Australia started to do, build massive desal plants. Everybody's water bills would go up 4 or 5 times. It would be illegal to water any grass at all anywhere. But we wouldn't run out of water. We would recycle all of our wastewater like Israel does. You know, there's countries all over the world that get 5 inches of rain a year with millions of people. San Jose, Fresno, Los Angeles get 15 inches a year. That's the same amount as Casablanca, Morocco. So we're a dry state. We do have a safety net, which is the Pacific Ocean, but we don't want to really have to ever go there.
Well, I hate to leave listeners with that thought to some extent. It's very complicated, but this is a fundraising period for many public radio stations, so I do have to allow that. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking with Paul Rogers about California's lack of statewide water waste mandates as the state enters a drought and what lies ahead for California. I've asked you, our listeners, to tell us what you think and what's your go-to water conservation strategy. And let me go to Camille in Los Gatos. Hi, Camille.
Hi. We installed a recirculation pump, and then we also installed a Wi-Fi controller for it. So from my phone, I can turn the recirc pump on right before I take a bath or shower and then turn it right back off so we don't let a lot of water go down the drain.
Well, I'm glad you found that solution. Thanks for sharing that, Camille. Let me go to Cole in San Francisco. Hi, Cole. What do you want to say?
Hi there. Well, I had a question. It seems like every time we talk about a drought in California, we read these articles that deal with the Nestle Corporation, and they're not so secret now, contracts that they have with our state that enables them to pull water from aquifers, essentially using a public resource and then literally sell it back to us, oftentimes, you know, in, you know, not non-reusable, non-green plastic bottles. So I'm wondering how much of this is true, how much of this is still happening, can we stop it, and what repercussions does the Nestle Corporation face or could face to get them to stop basically selling a public resource back to the public?
Cool, thanks. Paul Rogers.
I'm not up on the very latest on that, but yeah, Nestle had a contract with the federal government to take water. I believe it was out of the San Bernardino National Forest in Southern California. Caused a lot of controversy. As I recall, most recently, that was being either stopped or dialed back. You know, there are lots of public resources that corporations bid on and sell back to us. When you go to Home Depot and you buy lumber, that lumber was cut by a private company on a national forest. When you buy beef at the grocery store, those cattle were grazed often on BLM or national forest land, and they don't pay a lot of money. When you go skiing at Lake Tahoe, you're skiing on a national forest, and the ski resort is paying about a dollar to the government for every $100 that they make in profit. So, yeah, it's an area ripe for reform.
Well, Cole writes, if urban water users want to make a dent in agricultural water use, we should stop eating meat. Let me go to Paul in Ventura. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead.
Well, I have a question. Is what percentage of the water usage is commercial versus residential versus agricultural? Hmm. And I also have a comment.
Go right ahead.
Well, could you answer the question? Could he possibly answer the question first?
Oh, okay.
Sure. Statewide developed water is 80% agricultural. It's about, and this is going to be off by 1 or 2%. It's about 10% residential and 10% commercial, industrial, and government.
So what's your follow-up, Paul?
So residents only use 10%. Wouldn't it make more sense to go after the 90% use? And secondly, everything needs to have a price, if, you know, supply and demand. It's my understanding that some people pay as little as $40 an acre foot, and some people pay as high as $2,500 an acre foot. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It depends where you're getting your water from. So, for example, in Southern California, the city of San Diego, or the San Diego Water Agency down there, built a desalination plant during the last drought. It's in Carlsbad. I've been down, I've toured it. That plant produces 8 or 9% of San Diego's water supply now. The water is expensive when you do desalinated water because it uses a lot of energy to desalinate the water. And that costs about $2,200-$2,300 an acre foot of water. There are some farmers in California who have senior water rights through the Central Valley Project, which is a federal project, or the State Water Project, the state project. And they have contracts that they secured a long time ago for very little. And again, the question is, you know, legally, can you break up those contracts? What does it mean for the communities and the people who live in those communities? Can you shift that water from one place to another? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, like I said, there isn't really a way. If a farmer is using less water because he's getting a lot from the groundwater, for example, to get that water to Ventura or to Marin, they're separate aquifers, they're separate basins, they're separate systems.
Well, Jackie writes this thought that we can leave with. I was a teenager when Governor Brown's stringent water restrictions went into place, and those rules have positively impacted how I conserve water by turning off the tap when I brush my teeth, taking short showers, and being mindful of how much I water my plants. Imagine what a difference it would make if everyone learned to change those everyday habits. Well, mindfulness seems to be the theme of this hour. Paul Rogers, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you. You know, I'll leave you with a positive bit of news. We're using 16% less water right now, urban, as we were during the last drought.
Well, we love to leave with the positive. And also thanks to Susie Britton and Caroline Smith for today's segments. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.